Thank you, Greg, for reading our scripture lessons this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Repent or perish. We looked at this scripture this past Wednesday, and not everyone in our Visio Divina study were thrilled about this passage. Repent or perish. Our gospel lesson from Luke this morning gives us some disturbing images to think about. Let me put it this way. It would be hard-pressed to locate this story in a children's illustrated Bible, right? It's not an easy passage or a rosy picture of the context in which Jesus' ministry took place. If anything, this could remind us that the world Jesus taught and preached in was complex, political, and not without risks. Two events have shaken the hearts of those in the community. The first involves an attack by Rome in Galilee. And while historians have had a difficult time finding the exact record of those events, they would not have been uncommon. Rome, after all, is the foreign occupying force in and around Galilee and Judea. And as empires do, they seek to control resources and its people so they can increase their wealth and power and influence. Jesus meets the crowd who are consumed by this horrible news that Pilate had ordered Galileans to be killed in their place of worship as they are worshiping. The horrifying details made it impossible for those present to think about anything else. I think about the videos that we've been getting back from Ukraine. Jesus does not brush that aside. He doesn't ignore what's going on in the world. Instead, he meets them where they are and uses it to teach, knowing that there were some in the crowd wondering, did these Galileans die because they were bad people? Did God punish them because they deserved it? Many still ask these questions today after tragedies. Some may say, what's going on in Ukraine? Was it because Ukrainians deserved it? Jesus, of course, responds, no. As horrible as it is, Jesus affirms that unfortunately these events do take place in our world. They demonstrate how the world is far from living God's vision of shalom. And then Jesus pivots to teach. But unless you repent, you will perish as they did. What does Jesus mean by that? Repent or you will perish as they did. Unfortunately, there was more tragedy in the news that day. This news was not about Rome, but what we may equate with a natural disaster. In Jerusalem, the Tower of Siloam fell over and killed 18 people. Jesus again asked the crowd that may be wondering, who is to blame for this? He says, do you think these were the worst offenders of all living in Jerusalem? In other words, that they deserve this fate. And for the second time, Jesus says, no, these things happen, and there's no one to blame for them, not even God. And for a second time, Jesus will teach, but unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. At second glance, we may see that Jesus was not so much giving this ultimatum, repent or perish, but that Jesus is meeting them where they are, with compassion, revealing to them, I know where your heads are today. Yet at the same time, there is this urgency to teach about the kingdom of God. Repentance is a theme throughout the gospel according to Luke. Repentance is also a complicated term these days, as some Christians have weaponized it to condemn behaviors or keep people out of heaven or out of the church, which we know is not how Jesus used it. The Greek word metanoia, which we translate as repent, is better translated to change one's mind. And as you can tell, we don't do a lot of repenting in our society these days, willing to change our minds. In fact, the Common English Bible's translation reflects the Greek better in this way, where it says to change one's heart and life. Using the image in the news, Jesus is saying, unless you change your hearts and lives, that you actually do something that will benefit a new reality, it's as if you are lifeless. Unless you turn toward God, it's as if you are dead. So don't wait around blaming others. Don't blame God. Don't blame Pilate. But get to work. Time is precious, as you can see. In this way, the parable of the barren fig tree is a natural bridge. For a man has a fig tree planted, and for 3 years he expects it to produce this fruit. And his master gardener expects that fruit will grow on it, but nothing. 3 years of walking the property, checking its branches, yet no fruit. It is completely sensible. The tree is not doing what it's supposed to do, so the man decides to get rid of it, to cut it down. And it seems like our little fig tree is done for. That is, until the gardener says, wait. Give it one more year. I will tend to it. I will give it what it needs. I will nourish it. And if after a year there is still no fruit, then we can cut it down. But for now, we will let it live. And I will tend to it. Both of these stories go together. And it's not about death, but about how to live, knowing that each breath we take, each day we live, each time we return home safe and sound is in fact a gift. Really, it's about how will you use this time is the question. The truth is, we don't often live life as if we are full to the brim with grace. In fact, I want to invite us just for now to be present to that grace. And we did this a little bit earlier in the service, but I invite you to take a deep breath in and hold it and then let it out. And so we're going to take a deep breath in, hold it, and then let it out. And we're going to do it one more time. Breathe in, hold, and breathe out. One day, all of us will arrive at a moment where we can't do that anymore. Every single one of us will come to a time where we will not be able to draw breath. And we never really do know when that will be. But you know what? It's not right now. It's not right now. The Galileans worshiping, those in Jerusalem who had lost their lives, many citizens in Ukraine and all over the world, victims of natural disasters, remind us how precious our breath really is. What will we do with it? For Jesus, it involves repenting, changing one's heart and life towards God's ways of love and justice. In his first sermon, Jesus will proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, a limited time, a year, where Jesus says he will bring good news to the poor and let the oppressed go free. This year will be about life for those so familiar with the threat of death. And if life is so fragile, wouldn't we want to protect it for everyone as Jesus did? If life is so delicate and a gift from God, wouldn't we feel more alive when we witness others around us growing? Jesus does go one step further, as Jesus does. If you aren't living for others to have life, then you may not be living at all. You are like those who have perished. Elie Wiesel, a Romanian-American writer, professor, activist, and Holocaust survivor, once said this: because of indifference, one dies before one actually dies. Because of indifference, one dies before one actually dies. In 1986, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. And the committee stated that through his struggle to come to terms with his own personal experience of total humiliation and of the utter contempt for humanity shown in Hitler's death camps, as well as his practical work in the cause of peace, he delivered a message of peace and human dignity to all humanity. The Nobel Committee also stressed that he was committed. His commitment originated in the sufferings of the Jewish people, but that he expanded it to embrace all repressed peoples and races. Because of indifference, one dies before one actually dies. You will be like those that perish. The good news, and this is good news, there is still time. There is still time. For the gardener desires the fig tree to be its fullest and figgiest self. And that's not a word, but it is now. The gardener realizes the urgency, the liminality of life. So the gardener intercedes. And God plunges God's hands into the soil around us. God digs around us and frees our roots. God pumps nutrients into the ground. And there is time. There is time. And as you draw breath, there is time. And as we continue our Lenten journey, knowing that we are full to the brim with grace, that God desires our safety at all costs, how will we use this precious time we have? How is God tending to us, giving us new opportunities to bear fruit in these days and through our many relationships? Do we know that we are worthy of mercy and grace, the care of the gardener, no matter if we bear fruit now? God is working on us. There is still time. There is still time as you draw breath. There is still time. Amen. Amen. Amen.